everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. In this episode, I'm continuing our look behind the scenes at putting on a massive Comic-Con or pop culture convention, specifically focusing on the Phoenix Comic-Con, Phoenix Fan Fest. So in this episode, I talked to Brandi Kushel, Director of Guest Relations for Phoenix Comic-Con, Phoenix Fan Fest. And we talk about what's involved with getting guests to come to your show, what the value of autographs and photo opportunities are. Pretty interesting. It's definitely changed. The role of a director of guest relations has changed over the past maybe 5 or 6 years as these conventions have become increasingly popular and more commonplace, so you're kind of competing now to get the talent to come to your show. You know, why should they come to your show as opposed to, you know, another show on the other side of the country, things like that. Plus, there's so many shows that oftentimes these actors and artists and creators, you know, they want some time to themselves, you know, and there's well over 52 shows a year, but there's only 52 weekends a year, right? So certainly not every artist can attend every show, every creator, every actor. So, and plus they have to have time to actually do their work, right? And as I said, spend time with their families. So definitely all things to consider. And if you live in the Phoenix area or you plan on coming to FanFest, just a quick reminder, it's being held at the University of Phoenix Stadium, December 4th, 5th, and 6th. You can go to phoenixcomiccon.com for all the information and check out the guest list. As I've said, and a few of the people I interviewed on Friday mentioned, it's a great place to do some holiday shopping, pick up some unique items for those people in your lives who are into that sort of things, comics and pop culture memorabilia and such. So I'll let you listen to the interview with Brandi, and thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source. I'm here with Brandi Kushel, Director of Guest Relations for Phoenix Comic Con and Phoenix Fan Fest. How are you doing today, Brandi?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what it means to be the Director of Guest Relations for the conventions.
So my department and myself, we do all of the guest-related items from beginning to end. So it goes out, starts with inviting guests out to be a part of the convention, negotiating terms for appearances, booking travel, booking hotel rooms, getting them on site once they're on site, providing, you know, really good customer service so they have a good time, getting panels taken care of, and then, you know, getting them off-site when they're done. So pretty much anything that's guest-related usually goes through our department.
And how did you get involved with the convention?
So in 2007, my daughter wanted to do the J-pop fashion show. And I think she was like 11 or 12 at the time. I can't remember. And I wasn't going to let her do it alone. So I started as a regular volunteer and just kept volunteering and became director of volunteers in 2009. And then expanded to guest relations in 2011 and have been here ever since.
Now, did you grow up reading comics? Were you...
Comics a little bit. It was more sci-fi.
Okay.
My dad, we growing up, it was Buck Rogers, Battlestar Galactica, and Star Trek were the big things in our house, so...
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. So it's been nice because my dad's... I'm like, look, Dad, I'm bringing people out from stuff we watched as a kid, and he's had a chance to meet them, but... I enjoy reading comics. I don't get a chance to read as much comics as I'd like lately, but I'm working on that.
Yeah, none of us do. If only we could get paid to read comics and watch sci-fi shows, right?
Exactly,
That's
exactly.
That's really the job we all want.
It kind of has been nice because in this job, I do kind of get paid to do that. It's just the time to do it
right.
is the big challenge.
Is this kind of a dream job for you? I mean, did you ever think, when I grew up, I'm going to be guest relations for a convention? I'm sure that thought never entered your head, right?
Thought never really entered my head. When we really got serious about being a volunteer, probably in 2009, I remember telling people, that would be an awesome job if I could make this full-time. I didn't ever expect it to happen because it, you know, we were such a small show at the time, right. But with the growth and everything. So I have to say yes now. It is my dream job. I'm enjoying it immensely.
And even though you just have the two shows that take up, you know, 3-4 days at these two different times, I imagine that contacting guests and getting all the logistics works out, it's a year-round.
It is a year-round. There's a little bit of a break, usually after a show, a couple of weeks. Not so much with FanFest going into Phoenix Comic-Con, because I've already been working on Phoenix Comic-Con.
Right.
For the last couple of months. So it's been interesting to try to work two shows at the same time. So
new challenges.
It's new challenges, but I'm really enjoying it. It's just it's definitely a changeover in making this like a full-time position.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you have as director of guest relations?
I think our biggest challenge really comes down to working well, you know, working with the guests and trying to get them to be able to appear. We have so many guests that we would love to have come out, and you know, there's so many reasons why we can't get them. So, you know, I don't stop. I'm kind of tenacious. I tell people, I'm like, you'll eventually say yes, so the blonde girl will quit bugging you. but that's the biggest challenge. It's, you know, deadlines, filming schedules, you know, book schedules. It's a challenge because, and again, the market's changed so much that there's literally a show every weekend.
That was going to be my next comment. You know, yeah, that's probably made your job a lot harder over the last couple of years, being that, you know, there's sometimes, like you said, a show every weekend, but sometimes multiple shows at the same time.
Yes.
So it's like the guest has to choose where, you know.
They do have to choose. And there is, you know, kind of more con burnout happening with a lot of the guests. I've had a couple of our comic guests that we've had out for years tell me, I'm taking next year off. I need a break. You know, because again, you know, you figure 52 weeks in a year, there's probably 52 shows minimum happening every weekend of the year. And you're right, some weekends there can be 5 to 10 shows happening at the same time. So it is a challenge. You know, I tell everybody, we will get them at some point. I don't know when, but we will keep at them, and eventually the cards will work out and the stars will align and we'll get that guest out to our show. It just sometimes takes longer than we'd like.
Do you feel like having celebrity guests has become an integral part of a convention? Not just, I mean, they're still called comic convention, but really they've become pop culture conventions, right?
They are pop culture, and we've billed ourselves as a pop culture convention for years. I honestly don't know if any shows left in the country. There was one show left that I was aware of that didn't have any celebrities. It was just a straight Comic-Con. They had celebrities this year. And I don't know that it's necessarily good or bad. It is just kind of how the industry's changed, and it's the focus. I try to put just as much emphasis on my media guests as I do my comic guests, as I do my authors. But it's also what is very visible from the public. Comics is a challenge because people don't recognize the comic person. They recognize the scope of work, maybe, but when you look at a web page and you see their face, you're not like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing this person in, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It's, are they actually reading the biography to go, oh, yeah, this person worked on, you know, this comic that I really loved, you know, especially because a lot of people who enjoy comics don't really pay attention to the creators that are involved.
Right.
They just like the comic. So that becomes a little bit more challenging. So we're trying to come up with new ideas of how to promote our comics, especially in ways that recognition's easier for people to say and be like, you know, because I always get the comments from people at the show where they're like, I didn't realize this person was out and that was my favorite comic. And it's like, oh, it's been on the website, we put it on Facebook. How do you continue to market, you know, to the comics a little bit more, you know, differently so that recognition is easier for them to obtain? So it's one of my goals for this year is to come.
That's a good goal to have. I mean, being that I've been doing this for such a long time now, I've met so many creators, and I can honestly say this is one industry where the vast majority, way over 99% of comic creators are such great people, persons. They want to commiserate with fellow geeks. It's, you know, it's so awesome. Whereas, not to speak negatively about the stars of the TV shows and movies, but they're so inundated all the time from fans because they're so recognizable. So I'm sure at some point, you know, it gets old.
It's a challenge, and it's the balance. And right. Even, you know, when you bring out the higher profile comics, it is almost like having to schedule them as like a mini celebrity because you know they're going to have that inundation. And you're right, the majority of especially like comics and authors, they want to talk to people, they want to get to know people, and how do you get people out there to realize, oh, this is that person that I really right. do want to see. And, you know, I love the stories of, oh, I just happened to run into this person. I had this great experience with them. You know, because for me, as a fan, I like to have good experiences meeting, you right. know, all of the people. And that's what I want to try to bring to our attendees is, you know, here's these amazing people that do just outrageous. I have no creativity at all. So I appreciate the creativity that they bring, and I want our fans to be able to, you know, meet them, talk with them, and maybe go, oh, wow, I really liked you. I haven't read that book or I haven't read that comic. Now I want to check it out.
Right.
So that's, I think, the most enjoyment I get out of my job is being able to kind of put things together to try and get people to widen their scope a little bit.
Well, one criticism we've heard, or I've heard recently in a few years, is the cost of attending a convention. So obviously you want to take care of these guests, you know, you're paying for their travel and such things like that. And, you know, they're taking time out of their own lives, you know, and sometimes it's time away from work, deadlines, what have you, to come here and do that. So, you know, that's as it should be. But how do you balance the cost versus attracting guests that are going to help drive more, you know, membership and badge sales versus the value that people, I mean, is that something that is constantly in the back of your mind?
Yes, very much so. We, you know, and when I say, you know, the guest relations department, we work very closely with all of the other departments within the convention. You know, the programming department, our operations department. We look at, you know, what are attendees requesting, and it is a very large balancing act. You know, the industry, like you said, is changing. There's more fees involved. You know, we have creators that are now, you know, requesting appearance fees, which just drives up the cost even more to bring out. And in some ways, I completely understand that. You know, you're right. They're usually doing a convention to make money to help support themselves, and they may have a deadline coming up, or, you know, they're in between, you know, comic books, you know. So I get the creators needing, you know, fees to help kind of offset the costs of them either turning down work or you know, having to extend deadlines to make things happen. So it is a balancing act that we spend a lot of time, you know, we start with our list and we look at our costs, and I have my budget, and hopefully I don't go over my budget. And it happens with, you know, all, you know, the comics, the authors, the actors. It's the same thing across the board. And two, you also kind of, you know, I can't bring out just the groups from, you know, one TV show or one comic or all DC or all Marvel. So it's also the balance of, you know, putting together kind of a rounded out show that's going to appeal to, you know, you're not going to like every guest that we bring right. out, but hopefully you'll like at least, you know, one or two.
Something for everybody.
There's something for everybody.
Right. What about a wish list for the future? Are there two or three names, someone maybe that you can name? I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe someone who you've worked on, but for whatever reason it just hasn't worked out.
I have a few. I can't name names. It's always challenging. I have a few, and I'm getting back out there and, you know, just networking. The biggest challenge is just the coordination of, can we make it happen?
It's on that particular
weekend. That particular weekend with everything else that's going on. And, you know, it's funny, we will have someone at Comic-Con that I know Matt has been inviting since 2006.
Wow.
2006, 2007. And we've never been able to make it work. And it looks like this year will finally be the year we can make that work. So
yeah, when I see that name,
I'm hoping that people will be like, wow, finally they got that name out. You know, there's usually not a name that you can throw at me that I'm either not actively pursuing in one way, shape, or form, or you know, and some guests, I send them invites, you know, one or two times a year and just say, here's the reminder. You have kind of an open invitation. You want to come? Let me know. And we'll make it happen.
Where do you see the future of specifically Phoenix Comic Con, Phoenix Fan Fest, and kind of the industry as a whole? Where do you see it going, let's say, in the next 10 years? Is it still, you think it's constantly going to be that struggle of the comic side, which was kind of the impetus, versus all the celebrity, or do you think it's going to tilt more toward the celebrity with all the comic movies and TV shows now?
I think it's kind of a decision how the show wants to go and what direction those shows want to go in. You know, we have seen a shift, you're right. There, and a lot of the shows, you know, we see a shift more towards the celebrity and maybe a less on the comics. I know for us, it's very balanced. And when we do planning and when we do thinking, you know, I like all of it, so I want it all to be represented. And it also will depend on what the fans want, too. And that's, you know, trying to, again, keep your fans engaged and your attendees engaged and saying, you know, here's what we want to see. You know, we'll try new things. We'll expand other programming tracks. You know, we're going to expand our science track this year. We've had a lot of requests, and we've done panels on science. But we've had, between surveys and requests, just, you know, we want just strong science stuff. So we'll expand out our science track a little bit more this year and, you know, maybe bring out some science-related guests or at least do some really focused programming. Comics, it's the same thing, you know. It's interesting because everybody always wants the comics, but when you look at announcements that we make, comics usually don't get any, you know, likes on Facebook. And it's not to say that I know that people don't want to meet those comics and they're not excited about those comics. I think it's kind of that media, it's such an easier thing to focus on.
Right.
So from the fan standpoint, you know, on our website, there's a guest request form. I get a download every month of every request that comes in. I review every single one of them, which takes a little bit of time, but you know, again, we look at trying to make those balance of things happen. And, you know, I tell everyone, at some point, I hope I will get that guest out that you want. It just may take me a couple of years to make it happen.
Right.
Don't give up.
Well, my last question is more of a personal question here. I wonder if you could talk about any favorite moments. Maybe it was meeting a certain guest or, you know, finally getting someone that you worked on for a long time, but just some favorite moments or a humorous story about something that's happened since you've become director of guest relations.
Probably one of my favorite moments. There's a couple of them, these have tended to be more on the media side, just because they kind of had greater impact. When we were able to get Leonard Nimoy as one of his last personal appearances that he did, was huge, and we were all very proud of that moment. We knew he was getting ready to retire. The funny moment on that was he announced himself prior to us announcing him. So we had this big press thing ready to go, and all of a sudden he did a tweet saying, you know, I'm going to be at Phoenix Comic Con, and it was like late at night, and there was a scramble to try to, you know, get it out there because, you know, we didn't want people to feel like, oh, we were holding back.
Right.
It was literally like we got everything confirmed and he announced it the next day. you know, and other fun moments have been, you know, when our guests, you know, I get to see less of the guest attendee interaction sometimes because I'm usually dealing more with, you know, guest concerns and stuff that's happening. But usually my favorite moments are when guests meet each other behind the scenes, that they have, like, they admire each other, especially, like, you know, comic guests meeting the media guests or an author meeting a comic guest, and they all geek out together. So, you know, we all have that moment where we get to geek out a little bit, and it's kind of fun to see, you know, people that I'm watching other people geek out over, and then, look, they kind of geeked out over, you know, meeting somebody kind of in their opinion is their, you know, exciting person.
Right.
So those moments are always kind of fun to watch and, you know, step back and be like, oh, that was kind of cool to have happen. So.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for your time, Brandy.
Thank you.
Very informative. And I hope all our listeners are enjoying this
peek
behind the curtains. of what it takes to run a huge show. And kudos, I think that you do a great job. I mean, like you said, there's, you know, somebody for everybody. You know, just you walk through that autograph area, and you're just like, well, there's, you know, Edward James Olmos, or there's Katie Sacca. It's just really cool. So I hope you listeners are planning on attending Phoenix Comic Con, Phoenix Fan Fest. Great people that put on this convention, doing very great work, working hard so we can all have our geek out moments.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.